You're listening to Sports and Life with Tamron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Could you guys hear me? Yeah. All right, we're live on the air. What a beautiful day. We see a nice sunset in our LA Talk Radio booth out here. And beautiful, beautiful air, you know, today.
Yeah, it is.
Wasn't the weather nice?
Yeah.
A little hot, but it was hot this week.
Yeah.
But it's real nice. So the people back east say, God, you guys have it made. You know, but in back east, it's humid. Cuba, it's humid.
Yeah.
Miami's humid. You know, that weather. So we'll talk. We have a good show tonight. And we're going to have two theatrical people. And one's going to talk about her play.
Mm-hmm.
And then a gentleman's here going to talk about his films.
Sounds
and
great.
Talk about mining.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to be mining and films. That's a new
little
show.
Different combination, but
yeah,
it works.
There you
it
go.
Works.
Anyway, what I want to mention as we, this is our ninth year at LA Talk Radio doing this show. And next year will be our 10th year. And we're starting to do things we haven't done. We're going to start traveling more.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we plan to go to Vegas to do the San Gennaro Festival, which is the Italian festival we're going to do. Then we're going to go to, hopefully, Roswell. We do the UFO end of our show. And then we're going to do, we may go to Miami. We're going to see. There's a conference in Miami that we may go to. So there's things weathering its way 2018. But 2019, we're planning to do our show from Israel.
Wow.
That'll be amazing.
Be a big show for us. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place to go. Anyway, what I was going to mention to everyone out there, did you hear about the roller coaster?
Mm-mm.
There was a roller coaster, I think it was in, I want to say, Daytona Beach, where people were on it. And what happened, the only problem was, they were on it, the thing plunged 34 feet. It was already in the air. 40 feet, it was actually 40 years old and 40 feet in the air. And the people, thank God, were injured, but nothing serious happened. But that's, when they have rides that old, either repair them or get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And a lady was very scared.
Yeah.
At this, you know, we go to the roller, I don't like those rides. I'm not a big, you know, you go to Disneyland, you go to Matterhorn, you go to the, the one in Magic Mountain.
I like roller coasters as long as you just go up and down and not upside down.
Right,
the upside downs are like, you know, ready
that's
to
like that's like asking.
Throw up.
Yeah, it's like throw up. Time.
When did that happen?
Yesterday.
Oh wow!
See, we give you the news or what happens last day or so. Anyway, Donald Trump said something smart today.
Mm.
He told the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe that he should ship 25 million Mexicans to Japan.
Oh.
We talked about it a little bit. For the show, I think that's the most stupidest statement a president could make. And not only the racist tag on it, Mr. President, if you don't want to be president, and God forbid we'll have Mike Pence. and Mike Pence is president. But the problem with what you said is affects people, affects all over the world, Hispanics, mm-hmm. Latinos. And
yes.
Were you offended? I would be offended.
Yes, I'm an immigrant.
You're an immigrant too. You'd be offended. And the thing is, I think the president should be a president, not get himself racially involved in stupid things,
sure.
But talk about the issues, employment, how are we going to get a job? Second, how are we going to build the country? Third, like the roads need to be fixed. Four, the water. And then you know what they're getting rid of? Did you hear about this?
Huh.
The climate. You know, President Obama built up the United States to be ready for climate change. You know, to
the
talk
EPA?
About the issues. He wants to stop it. So a lot of things that he's doing is going. We know that if a Democrat is elected, which looks possibility pretty high, that there'll be change. And you can't have a president being so racist. And not only this is not this is he said earlier when he ran his campaign that the rapists, you remember what he said?
No, I know.
When they came to the border.
So
and then with Cuba, he wants to fight with Cuba right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit, we'll further get into it. But he talked about Cuba, and you know what? Cuba right now wants to be a friend of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you create this crazy banter, what he's doing, all it's going to create is a horrible, horrible situation for the United States. First of all, we have enough people that hate us. It's going to make more people hate us. And not only that, we could resolve issues in Latin America by being friends. Venezuela is not going to be with us. What's the other country where they have a wonderful leader? Daniel Ortega, Nicaragua. Mm. He's not a good, you know, he's killing people. You know that. Mm. Yeah, Daniel Ortega was with the Sandinista. Mm. Mm-hmm. He founded Sandinista. And from my historical background, I know he was supported by a lot of Communist Party people in the European nations. Mm-hmm. But what has happened is he's been mean to a lot of the campesino workers, and they've been dead. Hmm. Dead. So that's an issue, too. And that was something Fidel Castro talked about before he passed, about, you know, dissension in Central America and in, you know, Latin America. It's just a horrible thing. Anyway, we have a couple other stories. A three-year-old girl was found today. We talked about it in cornfield, out there with her dog at her side. She was missing for 2 days.
Wow.
And she was in a cornfield.
Jeez.
So they found her today.
Yeah.
So that's a great story. Now, another story was there's a guy who's a country singer, Rory Feek. He didn't know if he should shun his lesbian daughter. And that's been talked to. It's been like the Jerry Springer show. Mm. Because, first of all, he's got a daughter. Who cares her sexual thing? You know,
sure.
We're beyond that
right.
in our country. But what he's trying to do is trying to stop her way of life. You can't stop someone's way of life. So anyway, what we're going to do is next week we're going to talk about what's going on in the LGBT mm-hmm. community. We're going to have a leader come in and talk about that. Because my show, it's not just one thing. We talk about everything. So that way when people tune in, they say, oh, yeah, he covered it. We try to cover everything.
Yeah.
You try, you know. And then we're gonna make an announcement about someone very important coming in our studio. We can't say it yet, but it'll be a very important person in America. And we're going to cover the campaign soon because, you know, campaign 2018
yeah.
is going on. And you see the races so far. Mark Sanford laws, the guy who had a love in Argentina. You hear about that guy?
Mm-hmm.
He was a congressman. Actually, he was a governor. And he had an affair with a woman in Argentina. He was gone for 3 weeks. They didn't know what happened to him. So then he comes back, and then he runs for Congress in South Carolina. Okay? And he was one of these conservatives, whatever, congressman. So then what has happened is he didn't like Trump, so he departed from Trump on his issues. Guess what? He gets beat by a gal that is pro-Trump. So you're going to see a lot of things that you never saw before. But I don't think that's the norm. I think it's very rare in the South to support Trump like that. Because you can see places that will not support Trump because of his issues of women, minorities, housing, employment. You know, and I don't think the employment figures, I don't know, because you guys in the entertainment business, I don't think it's that great. I don't think the productions are going as strong as they used to do. And I think we need to put money behind the arts. Both
Absolutely.
Of you agree with me?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you got to have the arts.
Yeah.
You got to have the arts. And I know in California, Governor Brown is setting aside about $150 billion to go to the arts.
Great.
Yes.
And I think it's great.
Especially
you got to have the arts.
In the schools, starting
well, the schools
elementary.
Well, the schools you got to have, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to see how many of the arts are actually getting moved out of the schools. I mean,
yeah,
like
true.
Music departments, drama departments, and all these stuff are getting moved out of your junior high school, your high school levels. And it's like, you think about it, and it's like these debate classes are being removed. And I remember talking with somebody saying, you know, with us in a school, I was like, why is it we're removing this stuff? I mean, did you not take a debate class? Oh, yeah, no, I took debate. Then why are you trying to get rid of it, you know, 20 years
right.
down the line when you're now in charge of the school district and you're trying to remove this when this was something that you actually use right now in your life?
Right.
You know, this is a
right.
skill set that
yeah.
you learned back then.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to get rid of it. And I asked, I was like, why? And I didn't really get a very solid answer. You know, like, well, we need to save money. We got, I got a lot of the stereotypical answers.
It's a political answer, probably.
Yeah. Yes.
You know why? The real reason why? The arts were, you know, during the 60s, 70s, 80s, affected the kids then.
Yeah.
Because you had the art. Thank God for the arts. Because plays such as, you know, in those days, Hair, Jesus Christ Superstar. And it really affected the nation because we were going through the war. And I think we need to have something where people can demonstrate their feelings through art. Even Hamilton. I heard Hamilton. I didn't see Hamilton.
Yeah.
But I heard a lot about it. And I heard that was an effective use of today.
Sure.
Yeah, because the arts feed the soul.
Right.
We all have a soul. We all have expressed it.
Exactly.
Somehow. I teach artists in the classroom in the elementary schools. Where I come in and do storytelling and get the kids' stories to tell their stories.
Right.
And you just see how hungry they are to talk and show off and teach that self-esteem.
Well, they probably see you, you know, come in class, you see someone who's got so much knowledge and that, you know, that to teach them. And they get excited. I would be excited.
No, of course. And that's the other thing, too, is like, you know, you have these kids sitting down in classrooms, and it's like, you sit here, you read this book, you learn your history, you learn your sciences, and that's all great, and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Right.
But you bring in the arts, and you finally, for a little hour, hour and a half out of the day, you're telling a kid, you can express yourself, you know, be loud, make some noise, have some fun, and let's see what your voice takes the rest of the class.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I think that's a good release for the kid because a lot of the, like, you know, schools and stuff don't have recesses.
Right.
And this could be an opportunity for them to just relax.
And I'm also finding that there's less imagination being taught, creativity, that the kids are stuck. It's all about testing and things are changing.
Also, you got to remember, we're in the era of the cell phone. Mm-hmm. And the cell phone has really hurt the kids. And even when you go to the store, I see people talking on the cell phone, walking, traffic. Don't they know they get hit? And I saw that someone get hit in traffic. Because even though you have a cell phone, it doesn't mean nothing. But what you got to do is, cell phone, like anything else, there's a time and place to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And when walking, like I see people walking back, bad time to use it because, first of all, you're not in control of yourself. And that's the problem, like you said. And you see the cell phones, you see families, very different situation with families. You probably see it as a teacher.
Oh, yes.
With the families right now. It's very tough raising kids right now.
And
Also, are you from Utah?
I am from Utah, yes.
Yeah. Because I have a girlfriend from Utah, and I can tell you, she was a single mom, and raising her kid was shunned on by the Mormon church.
Okay.
And they've shunned LGBT, they shunned other things, but you know what's going on? There's a movement going on that is basically an introspective of the Mormon community, because Mormon community gets money, they build buildings, and all those buildings are being used not for good things, for bad things. And they need to put those, you know, like a single mom to have a place to live. Old elderly be taken care of.
Sure.
And that was something I didn't see a lot with her. I asked her about that. You know, certain situations where the family was like forced.
Mm-hmm.
And the state should, you know, take care of the elderly. That's the least we could do.
Why was the Mormon church shunning her? Was it because?
Because you're single mom.
Single mom.
And they were making stories up and everything. Mm-hmm. And then she overcame that, and she was okay. But in the meanwhile, that happened to her. And I couldn't believe it. I said, why would they do that? But that's what goes on in society. Came back to the arts. And one of the good things I could say within the news, did you see the mama bear that her cubs were missing?
No.
Well, she hugged the guy, the bear hugged the guy that saved her cubs.
I would probably just run.
Yeah,
like, okay, bear's coming to me. You've got the cubs. I'm out. We're all good. We're on understanding.
Reacted.
We're friends. I'm gone.
You know what? Bears, on another level, they react. And it was really cute.
They can react. I'll be over there. Like, you react all you want.
But that was something you don't see.
Where was
it? I want to say somewhere in Montana.
Yeah, because in Ashland, Oregon, we have a house there, and there's bears with the mama and the little cubs.
Yeah. She watches them.
Yes. Stay away.
When those cubs are gone, she's going to be visiting you. That's for sure. And also, you heard about the football players that were named captain in a school in Washington, Washington State. Both of them died within 48 hours.
I just saw the article as I was leaving to come here. I didn't read it at all, but yeah, there was two of them that died. One was a suicide, and I don't know. Was the other one also a suicide?
I don't know if the other one was suicide. I don't know. Yeah. That's the thing about suicide. We had, last week we were talking about Anthony Bourdain, the CNN host.
Yes.
And I go back to him getting help. He, instead of traveling, he should have gotten help. And that's the problem, because when they do, when suicide, it happens so fast that there's always an answer that could have been, you know, challenge. And he had a beautiful, he has a beautiful 13-year-old girl, and it just, she loses her father, and the way, you know, we talk about him, an artist, but if he's so bright, why would you take your life?
You know, Robin Williams. I mean,
yeah, Robin Williams, same way. Yeah, terrible. Anyway, there was another thing that happened. I was talking with them in the green room about a, there was a Georgia woman that was getting mauled by a bobcat, and was, you know, because they're a little mean, those, a little mean, those bobcats. You know what she did? She beat the crap out of the bobcat.
How? She, like, did she have a, like, just her hand?
No, with her hand.
Stick, or?
With her hand. And she was able, it came to her face, and she knocked it down. And people were all talking about it. It was in the news. You know, very interesting situation. You know, all the, we're getting a lot of these stories, you know that?
Yeah.
With animals. And also, in California, with the animals coming down, like the bears, and there's been a lot of bobcats and all, because looking for food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, with the heat going on,
fires, all the fires that we've had,
all the fires are killing the animal population. And the thing is, we need to have an area of it, where we bring in vegetation, natural plant, so these animals could exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They do in different countries, and that was very interesting. And what I was going to say, another thing is, we're going to talk about your play. So let's talk about your play. We got a play going on. Mm-hmm. Let's introduce you to everybody.
I'm Alina Señal.
Alina.
I wrote and performing a my solo show. And
a one-lady act?
A one-lady act. 1 hour on stage. It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
I bet it is.
But it's so empowering because it's telling my story. So I'm very close to it. I was born in Cuba. And I came to the United States in 1961 at the age of 4.
Wow.
So my story begins with me at 4 years old in Cuba and learning my rhythms, where I started the love of dance and community and my family. And then the revolution, where my dad was very close friends with Fidel Castro. And so when Fidel took power and started to take away businesses, like my grandfather's business,
right,
and that's
well, he's a socialist communist.
Yes,
communist.
But I mean, we didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah, it's true.
So every the professional things were being taken away from, and so then my dad became a leader in the anti-revolutionary movement, where Fidel was looking for him, and so he escaped in a little boat with six other people. And came to Florida, and then my mother and the four daughters, we were 3, 4, 7, and 8 in a ferry boat. It was the last ferry boat.
Unbelievable.
To leave. And then, you know, coming to Miami, where we were, our big house is now a one-bedroom apartment. And so my story takes me from Cuba to Miami, and then through my life, through my dance, because I danced always, through my dad's advices. So there's humor, and then there's touching moments, and the show will be at the Ivy Substation June 24th.
Nice place to see play.
And it's at the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, which is a great festival.
Great.
Yes. The Women in Power.
The Women in Power.
And Adela Barnes is the founder, and she's a beautiful...
Would you want to make this story into a movie?
You know, I sure. I've had people say you should pitch HBO with this idea, but... If you meet any Latino...
This is more of a feature film, like, you know, like Amazon.
Ah.
Like Bezos. This would be a wonderful film, a feature film.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Cuba. Now's the time.
Yeah. But if you meet any Cubanos or my age, we all have the stories. We all were born in Cuba and raised in this country, and we all have the history of, which is so relevant still today.
The bakery. Bakery in Burbank.
Oh, Portos?
Portos, yeah. they're immigrants.
Yes. Yeah.
They're immigrants. There's a wonderful place. It's a cafe now, right? Mostly?
Yeah, but it's
they do the Cuban sandwich.
And a lot of pastries. It's mostly a bakery.
Yeah, and they're a hardworking family, built in Burbank. Now they're in Downey. Mm-hmm. I understand they're going to Orange County. They're going to Ventura soon. Mm-hmm. But that's an inspiring story because you have that. And also, many Cubans got into filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that you've seen on TV that were American-Cuban productions,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Cubans took over Miami.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you know, a lot of, you got, famous people.
Andy Garcia.
You got Jose Canseco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the baseball player.
And
you also have Amelia, the wonderful dancer, singer. In fact, they're doing her play, Get on Your Feet.
Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about being, she's an immigrant from Cuba.
Yes, she's my age and same story.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia has the same story because they're all my peers.
Yeah.
You know, either you were born in this country or you are my parents' age that are now passing away because they're all in their 80s and 90s.
And those are the people you want to talk to.
Yes, and I did. And make sure you sit down with your elders.
Yeah.
And get them on video and get their stories because I have like 8 of them that have passed already. And you tell their stories.
Yeah. And you talk about your dad, your mom.
Yeah.
Through your play. Mm-hmm. Tell us, so you're is it based on you leaving Cuba on the boat, or basically are you talking about your life after?
It's the whole journey. It's called Words from a Cuban Father. So it's my journey from Cuba to the United States through my art of dancing and acting, but with my dad's advice and quirky Cuban. he's a jokester. And so this is a 30-hour version. My hour version of the show
has... You cut it down a bit.
Well, yeah. So the hour version has the passing of my dad.
Right.
That I spent the 12 days of hospice care with him. And even then, his quirkiness and the Cubans, we have this spark of laughter.
They have a humor, sense of humor.
That is like, it's always there through the most tragic things.
Because, it comes from Spain. Mm-hmm. Cuba was a colony of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about Cuban history, you think about Spain. And now...
And Africa.
And Africa, of course. Also, you're talking about a country now that's trying to they're trying to come together from the Castro brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They're still trying to make it at a different level. I've noticed on the news, the new leader they elected, the younger guy. I think the younger guy's in his 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
52,
he's,
I think.
Yeah, so he's trying to embark on this new Cuba.
Mm.
And then you have people from the other movement that want to have free elections.
Mm.
So talk about being, you're talking about coming from another country, Cuba. Tell us what you remember of Cuba. What's your record? What are you in your mind?
Oh, it's family. It's playing dominoes with my grandfather, who taught me to count at the age of 4. It's the music.
Now, where did you grow up in Cuba? What
in
area?
Holguín. Holguín.
Tell us about Holguín.
Holguín. It's on the east side of the island, opposite of La Habana. And it's now the third largest city, but it has a lot of parks. And
right.
And there's a huge, it's called La Calera de la Plaza, it's way uphill that you walk up it and you can see the whole town.
Oh, that's nice. So it's right near the ocean, too?
No, it's about 2 hours south of the ocean.
Okay.
East. But I went back to Cuba for the first time two years ago.
Tell us your experience.
Oh my gosh. I found my cousins that I had never met. Because I was 4, my house I do remember is now an eye clinic, and a big giant picture of Fidel Castro on my living room, the clinic's front room. How ironic, my dad and him.
Oh, God.
And then I found my nanny that raised up for the 4 years I was there.
Hmm.
Edie's, who she's this elegant mulatta lady with the green eyes. I'll never forget her singing me to sleep and feeding me and bathing me. And when I found her, she's now 77. And
you must have cried.
Oh, my God. Up. I was back in her arms. I'm back crying. Ay, Alina, pero my God. I was so, now I talk to them on the phone.
Oh, that's
nice. Good.
And you send money and you visit and you bring things and, you know, they're suffering. They lack things.
Now,
the spirit
now,
is strong.
So you go there, you see your life.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you remember also with your nanny, seeing your nanny? Anything else that you remember?
Oh, yeah, the carnivals. My sister, at that time, she was one of the princes on a float. And I remember the cardboard float and the boys pulling the float by ropes.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Because even the cars that we had back then are still there now.
Yeah. So, from the 50s.
Which is why you have to go to Cuba. It is a 50-year time warp. You leave that airport and you go, what? And it's just fascinating how people have made do with nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what he's created, is creativity and community of people helping one another because there's nothing there.
But you know, it'll see what happens with the change. It'll be change. Because you know what? It happens with changes. Even China.
Yeah.
When China
had
the relation to the United States, they started to change. And China now, they're the wealthiest people in the world. And I think they'll be on the bandwagon to help Cuba and also United States, because Cuba is our neighbor. And I don't know why Obama said, was interesting. It was about a year ago, 2 years ago, when Obama was president. He says, "What do we have a fight? Let's normalized relationships."
Yeah,
and that's what he did. And now tell us about your family. Did they change a lot? Or are they the same?
Well, my dad changed because he came to this country and was very Republican and that whole. But then as he got older, he started to get more liberal.
Interesting.
And then he was sharing his viewpoints, how he could not talk openly in Miami because when.
Oh, they kill him.
Yeah. But then my mom is very Republican.
Very conservative.
Conservative, but doesn't care for our president. So it's right amazing to hear my mom, who doesn't talk much, you know, like, oh, mommy, you don't like, okay.
You don't like Trump? Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think your mom is of that era where they, you know, they came here with nothing.
Yes.
And they America.
But I'm so grateful to my parents to bring me here, and the United States opened us, brought it. We were allowed here, where, you know, these children that are being separated by their parents.
It's horrible.
It's
horrible.
Come on.
And you know what's going on now? The Congress is going to vote on putting them together, and I think any president that could do that has no heart, because you can't separate the kids from the parent. That's what Hitler did in Germany.
Yes.
In the Holocaust. He did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now tell us, you know, when we think about Cuba, the great, you know, like Celia Cruz, a wonderful art she brought, Desi Arnaz.
Mm-hmm.
And Desi Arnaz, by the way, I saw him at the end of his life, mm-hmm. but he was in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved women.
Palm Springs.
Yeah, but he loved women. That's why he divorced with Lucille Ball. But there was something with his kids. They all love him.
Mm-hmm.
They all love Desi Arnaz.
Yeah.
And also the many people that came from Cuba, and without the Cuban American or Cuban, and then became American, what they had brought, you know, a lot of good things. Now tell us, now were you settled in Miami?
Mm-hmm.
And then where'd you go from there?
And then I was a dance major at school in the University of South Florida, and I just wanted to leave Florida, and New York just didn't appeal to me, so I came to California pursuing my dance career.
So how long have you been out here?
Oh, 1977.
Oh, super.
I was 20.
20 years. But now do you have a family out here too?
No, I came. I'm the black sheep. They're all in Miami. All my sisters, my mother, she's still alive, bless her. My cousins, everybody. They're all. I'm the one that left.
And well, you had an art. You had the art.
I'm the artist. Yeah.
You're the artist, or you know, mm-hmm. like the one that draws paint. So tell us, coming to LA, what?
Oh, well, then it's now I'm dealing with being a Latina in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That I have a slight accent. I never really lost it, so I'm stereotyped into the maid roles and.
Right.
And but then I always brought comedy to my maids. And so I started to educate a little bit in the parts that I would get. I'd talk to the directors like, yeah, let's try this. And
I think it's pretty with the accent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you see the World Cup, the guy who does the show for Channel 11, he's got a first time I've seen they had a host, a Latino host of the World Cup.
Mm.
And he brings a flair, a flavor. Yeah. And, you know, because Fox News is going to be sold to Disney soon. They're going to be a whole...
Really?
Everyone's buying and selling.
Whoa.
I heard it's happening. You can see Fox's tone change. Because Disney is very liberal versus...
Is Disney liberal?
Very much so.
Okay.
To they were what they were. Because Walt Disney didn't like certain people,
that's right.
too. He had his dislike. But with this merger, you're going to see a lot of more Latino programs... on Disney wants to capture that market, and they're very big in cartoons for the kids and teaching them. So I think you got some careers in voiceovers.
Look at Coco, the movie
success. Now, as you come here, and you know, there's so many, you know, Hollywood's that town. You go there, and so many people competing against each other. What do you think about the competition, Eric? You know, you're competing. To get a job, what do you think about that?
Well, that's tough part of Hollywood, that actor pursuing your gig when you audition with all your friends who all look like you. And
that's true.
And how the older you get, the less jobs there are. So I kind of segue into the teaching children's theater. And
that's wonderful.
And mostly in Oxnard, where I have a lot of...
But you're up in that? You live
I live
there?
In Camarillo.
Oh, so that's not far.
So I love Oxnard. I like... And giving back to that community of Latino children. And
oh, wow. That's
because
nice.
I don't look Latina, you know, but when you wear it, you're going to have a different... It's a different... People look at you differently.
Right.
So I want to empower those children.
Hmm. Now, in the last... You know, as... You know, we're talking about your play. What do you, if people see your play and see the dance, what will they come home... What will they get... from that?
It's sticking to your dreams. It's being different, being maybe... It's okay to be different, to keep forward that the immigration is what this country's about.
That's
for all
it. My grandparents didn't speak English, and they were from Russia, they were from Germany, and they had to cut their last name. Because in those days, how it was.
Oh,
I met with Groucho Marx and all those people that are comedians. Their parents had long names and they cut them. But getting back to the Cuban experience, by the way, you go to Veracruz. Have you been to the restaurant?
Oh,
very nice restaurant.
I went to Veracruz Beach in Cuba, but not Veracruz.
Very good as a restaurant. But you know what is interesting? You go there, and they have the culture. They talk about the music, they talk about the food, and they talk about their lives. And very interesting. One day you go there, you see they have it in Encino, they're out in Culver City, whatever, but it's cool. And keeping that Cuban remembrance, the food.
Mm.
And I think that's important.
Yes.
Because kids relate to food. We all relate to food.
Oh, yeah.
But keeping that, the dance.
Uh-huh.
And keeping the Cuban, having a festival where you are of Cuba.
Yes.
Having a Latino festival. I think that's a wonderful way in the summertime to show people the proud culture that you have.
Yeah, there is a Cuban festival in LA every year.
Yeah. But I mean, people don't know about it, but you know, have it like a Cuban film festival.
Mm-hmm.
Should be around. Mm. These are things for you.
Yeah.
Big of ideas. And by the way, her show, where is it playing again?
It's at the Ivy Substation in Culver City. It's June 24th at 8 p.m. The whole event is based on the Los Angeles Theater Women's Festival.
How much is it?
It cost I think it's, oh my God, $15?
$15 and look at the entertainment
You know what?
Yes, of course.
Because we have some
and a culture.
Some singers. Yeah, culture. We have a Japanese woman who's doing a Korean woman who's dancing. So it's showing all the different cultures that the LAWTF always embraces all the women of the world.
Yeah, it should do more where we should. It'd be nice to have. I'm waiting for the government a stamp. Of the immigrants from Cuba to have a stamp. They're working on Desi Arnaz.
Ah,
a stamp.
Yes.
They're working on a stamp of... And by the way, Desi Arnaz came from a very poor family. And they're going to... What they're going to do is they're going to do a story. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about because a friend of mine is trying to do the story about his life and about how hard... He tried to go back to Cuba and they wouldn't let him back. And there was a whole bunch of stuff we don't hear about, but you know, Lucy was going to do a whole thing from Cuba.
Huh.
Because her kids are half Cuban, half Caucasian, and she was going to do a whole thing. Now tell us, and then we're going to get into this young man who is an actor, got some films. See how I do my show? I try to get everyone in. Now tell us your name, and then we're going to go back.
My name is Bill Housekeeper, and I'm an actor.
What? Oh, I love that name, Housekeeper.
And it's real. I came out here, everybody thinks it's a stage name. Like, oh, what a great stage name. And I'm like, yeah, it's real.
He's really a housekeeper.
And it's one of the few names that didn't get changed when they came to Ellis Island. They kept it.
German?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. And I am currently working on two independent films right now. And then I'm also producing a project as well.
Maybe tell us about your films and your project.
Yeah, well, basically, I've got two films going on right now. One of them is kind of a supernatural thriller.
Okay.
You know, and that's kind of barely starting right now and working on that one, getting that one out, and it's going
to
be a
time.
Lot of fun.
Good time to have it.
It is. We're going to be filming that one, I believe,
what
out
is
in
it called?
Nevada. It's going to be called The Popcorn Killers.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little fun project. And then I just got... finished filming today a project called Break the Silence, which follows a lot with the Me Too movement, where I play actually a really sleazy Hollywood producer.
Oh, wow.
That's
not too many of them.
The first time I've ever done that. So that was weird, but fun. It was good. And then the movie that I'm actually producing right now is a project called Winter Quarters. And it's a project based off of an event that happened back in my hometown on May 1st, 1900.
Then Utah?
It was the worst coal mining disaster that's ever happened in my hometown. And it affected, every family lost at least one family member in the entire town.
Oh, my God.
One family lost nine.
Now, tell us about your
town.
It's in Utah, but the map, because people are going to say, okay, so Utah.
It's kind of...
Salt Lake City, we know, is where people come in. Because people want to know.
I'm going to say this live on the radio, and everybody in my hometown is going to laugh and both kill me at the same time. It's pretty much in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
It's a population of about, give or take, about 4,000 to 6,000 people. It's not much happening there. There was at one time a lot of coal mines because of this winter quarters coal mine.
Right.
And so it's a really strong mining community, and now all the mines are dying out. There's only about 5 mines left out of the, I think it was 164, but I'm not positive of that number. And, it's just a really strong coal mining-oriented town, so when I came across this story, I knew that this had to be told. It affected 13 different nationalities. All these people were coming in from around the world, literally, to get a piece of the American dream and finding out about this coal mine that had just opened up out in Utah. And they all just came with their families. And when a disaster happened, it killed so many people that every coffin in the state of Utah was used. And they had to order more from Denver, Colorado.
Hold on 1 second. We got a call.
Okay.
Probably for you. Hello, you're on Cameron Sports and Life. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
I am just calling to talk because you have someone on that was the teacher to one of my children.
Ah. And,
you have a fan.
And I was, I am.
What is your name?
I did. My name is Estrellita.
Estrellita. So I teach your child. I've taught your child.
Yes. Okay. I am so proud of you, Miss Alina.
Wow.
You just. You just empower my kids.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you. Well, very good. Well, say hi to your, what's your daughter or son? What do you have?
I have twins.
Oh, wow. Oh, which one of those, is it Brecky Elementary or Bard?
Yes, it is Bard. My twins are, yes, is a boy and a girl. And they always talk about you, Miss Alina. Oh. You give them so much of yourself.
Thank you.
They come home and they're happy to be Latinos.
That's nice. Wow. That's nice to hear.
Thank you, Estrellita. Well, send them my love. Tell them that.
What? Let me ask you a question.
Yes, thank you, Miss Alina. I hear you're doing the Wizard of Oz, but with like a Latin theme to it. And
I am.
It's so creative.
She's your prep.
Wicked Witch is a chola, and it's just wonderful. Your creativity is wonderful. I love you.
Thank you.
Nice. Let me ask you a question. Having some to the mom. What's your name, ma'am?
Estrellita or Estrella,
I like Revita.
But I am no star. I am just Estrella.
No. Anyway, what difference did you find having this young lady teach your kids? What did she do? What was her influence like?
Well, she is first of all, she is a role model, because they look at her and they say, "Oh, she is a Latina, and she can even be a teacher."
Wow, that's nice. That's nice.
Even starting right there, but all the time she always. Positive, 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 and such energy. They think Miss Alina is a little older than me.
Okay. But
thank you, Trayita.
Trayita, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Why sure?
No. My question is, it's important because we talked about, about Latino culture coming alive. And you're having a teacher who can relate to her, to the students.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's nice. Now, where are your kids now? Where are they going right at this point? How old are they now?
They're still in elementary school, but they have learned so much from her, and they're able to even express themselves so much better. Even by taking her classes.
Wonderful. See, you made her day.
Gracias, señora.
You made her day.
All right.
Thank you for calling
Hasta
in.
Luego, Miss Alina. Okay. Vaya con Dios.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank Wonderful you. Call. So that call, the essence of that call was wonderful.
Yes.
Because she's helping people's lives, changing people's lives. Now we got to go back to the coal mine. Back to the coal mine. Yeah, so anyway, now the coal mine, I had a question for you because President Trump has said there are coal to be harvested out of these coal mines. Out of the coal mine in that city, what if it was a renovation for that coal mine to come back?
Oh, I mean, I'm definitely not an expert by any means. I know that there is definitely coal in the mines. I know, I believe Andalex still has a lot. I think Plateau even has some. It's really hard. Could Trump do it would be a better,
Why I'm asking is, because the coal mines, if it has production, because they're finding it even in West Virginia, when he's come there, people don't use coal that much right now.
Yeah, I mean, we have started to move away from it. There was a point when we were getting 80% of our electricity from coal.
Right.
And then also, too, it's like what a lot of people don't realize is that coal is one of the main ingredients for building steel.
Right.
So if we get rid of that, then what are we going to do for steel? But on the other hand, we're kind of creative creatures. We can come up with another product or something to mimic it. Have we done it? I don't know. Can we do it? We can. Will we do it? There's so many areas that I don't know about to be able to comment on it. But for Trump to come in and say, I'm going to do this and actually have it be done, Time will tell. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm not an expert. You know, I'm an actor. I'm not an expert on politics.
No, I asked you that was because that's been a new the political front. He's talked about that. And
sure.
He's talked about putting new jobs in, going back to America producing steel. And also, right now, he put a tariff on China, which is crazy. And China's going to start a war, a trade war, and the United States is going to lose out.
Well, I mean,
a lot of jobs are going to go.
A couple of places could do that to us. I mean, it could not just be China. It could be
Mexico.
Places, yeah.
In Mexico, they're putting the same thing, same Canada. So when you have that going on with a president that's, I call him a loony bin president, it's not going to help. It's going to hurt. Because in the long run, you're taking away you're bringing jobs in one way, and another way you're taking away jobs.
Sure.
And that's what's going to happen. So tell us about your story. You said each family lost someone.
Yeah, every family lost at least one. One family lost 9. One family lost 12. It affected the U.S. Navy, this disaster, because they had a contract with Winter Quarters for their war down in the Philippines. And so, I mean, the thing was absolutely massive. And when a disaster happened, they still don't know to this day what caused it. It was an explosion with no fire, and they don't know still to this day how many men or children died. Because the kids started mining at age 6, but they didn't get put on payroll until they were 13.
Right.
And because a miner never cost the mine any money, they very, very, very rarely ever did paperwork on a coal miner. So they had no documents on who was actually down there. And some of the bodies were burned beyond so much recognition that nobody could find out who they were.
Right.
I just start getting choked up thinking about this place. They sent trains full of flowers just to comfort the best that they could. And so many donations came in across the country. France, their president, Felix Faureau, sent in a letter of condolences. The president had all kinds of...
What year was this?
This was May 1st, 1900.
1900. So you're in America. Who was our president then?
Oh, boy, good question. I have no idea. Like, I should know that answer, and at one time I did. And it's just,
exactly.
Let me break out Siri or Google or something.
Get out your Google. But anyway, the reason why I ask is
America
was a different country in 1900
as
now. And then, now, so mining stopped when this disaster occurred.
No. Oh, no. They were put out of business for a very short amount of time, and then they all went back in. It's really weird. Because my dad's a coal miner. My dad was a miner for 38 years. I mean, that's what everybody did in the town except for me, apparently. I left town.
You were the artist.
I was the artist. Oh. And it was funny because my mom and dad sat me down right when I was probably about 17 years old. And I'd always said I want to be an actor. But they were finally like, look, what are you doing with your life? Like, where are you at? Like, what do you want
to
do? And I said, you know, I just want to be an actor. You know, and that's just it. And they both looked at each other and there was this little bit of a silence. And they said, you don't want to go into the coal mine. And I said, absolutely not. And they said, what do you have to do to become an actor? Because we don't want you in the coal mines either. You're not going into mines. We do not want you there. I was an only child. And a lot of people, we got lucky in our area. Not a lot of people died, but a lot of people died in like many quick situations. Like the fire at Wilburg killed everybody in the mine.
Wow.
And my dad had quit there a year before it happened.
Wow.
And this is a small town. We all
when,
know
when
each
did,
other.
When did that happen?
Wilburg was right before Thanksgiving in 1984, and I remember watching. It was weird because I was 6 at the time, and I'm watching TV for a week, and I'm looking out the living room window, and you can see the mountains of where Wilburg is at, maybe 100 miles away, and you can see the smoke coming up, and you can see the hell. Like it was just absolutely just surreal. But they were very supportive of the acting career. And then a year later, my dad got me a job at the mine.
Oh, interesting.
And my mom, I thought my mom was going to kill him. I have never seen my mom that mad at anybody. and she was like, he's going to get it.
Did you work at the mine?
I did. I worked at Andalex Resources.
What did you take
from the
mine?
They are way different than what you could ever possibly imagine.
Okay.
They're snow white on the inside because of the rock dust they put around. You're so far deep, and yet you're hearing thunder, but it's not thunder. It's actually the mountain shifting. I mean, you turn off your light, and there's nothing but blackness, even though the walls are white because of the rock dust. It was great for 6 months of my life at 18 years old. Would I change anything on the path I've actually went down with my life? No. Would I have stayed in the mine? No.
What about bringing a theater company to where you live?
I would love to do that. In fact, I actually have rolled around the idea with a few people in town. I'd actually like to bring a production company out there because there is no work out there outside of the mine, the college, and the hospital, and like all little mom and pop shops.
Now, what's the colleges out there?
University of Utah just bought the College of Eastern Utah. College of Eastern Utah was a junior college, and then U of U came in and said, we'll buy this and have our branch put down here. And the college does great. I mean, it's a really good college for certain things. The paleontology department's out of this world.
Wow.
And the theater department when I was there was amazing as well.
Wow.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, one last thing is,
yeah.
Talking about your film.
Yeah.
This is, when it's going to be coming out when?
We're still in the beginnings of production, so okay. That one's still a little bit ways off, maybe about a year or two.
Be an interesting film. I think it's going to be.
It could be. We've gotten some really good buzz in Hollywood about it. We've got some really big producers who have given us some amazing feedback and are interested in possibly jumping on board with us. And if that happens, the sky's the limit. As far as the other two projects I've got coming on, one I believe comes out, I think, beginning of fall.
Okay.
And the other one's probably shortly after that.
Well, so. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's lucky.
Amazing career. So anyway, if people want to know more about you, are you on?
I'm on Facebook. Bill Housekeeper. Housekeeper is actually spelled Houskeeper. There is no E after the S. Okay. It's a German thing. I don't know.
That's true. The Germans are very good. But anyway, you'll come back in studio when.
I would love to come back. This was great. Thank you for having me.
Same with this lady with her one-act show. Talk more about Cuba, you know, and we could do a whole thing about Cuba. I'm going to have a show about Cuba, about the Jewish community of Cuba, mm-hmm. which is like hidden away. And in fact, Bill Dana was Cuba.
Hmm.
Bill Dana's family came from a part of Havana. They don't talk about, you know, but they're doing a whole story about it. So it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. See what happens.
Yes.
Anyway, we want to thank you all both for coming on.
Can I pitch my website? AlinaCenal.com. AlinaCenal.com.
Very good. She got it down. Anyway, we want to thank everyone for coming on tonight. And next week, we're going to talk more about our trip coming up. We're going to go to Las Vegas. We're going to have our trip, you know, all my co-hosts and people. Mm-hmm. I'll have a good time. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in. And good night from Los Angeles.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.